Okay, come this side. Come on this side. Come on. To this side. Just read the word together. Amen. This is Jesus talking about children. You know children are important to Jesus? You know that? How many know that? Raise your hand. Amen. Listen, this is a story. This is in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 14. It says the disciples were talking with Jesus and whispered to each other, "I wonder which one of us is the greatest of all." Some said it was Peter. Others thought John was the most important disciple. And they began to argue with each other.
He's the important one.
He is the important. Jesus is the important one. That's right. And they asked Jesus what he thought. Jesus did not answer them right away. There was a playing child nearby. Jesus called the child over and put him on his knees. "Do you see this little one?" he asked. "Anybody can become like a child, trusting, humble. That person will become the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Wow. "Whoever takes care of a child and teaches him or her about me has also welcomed me. But people who hurt a child or teach him or her not to trust me will be in terrible trouble, big time. It would be better for them if a huge stone were tied around their neck, and someone throw them into the water." Boy, they're goners, aren't they? They're going to drown, aren't they, with a rock around their neck, right?
A huge
rock. It'd be awful. His friends shivered at the thought. They looked at the little child on Jesus' lap. "How could a child be so important?" they wondered. And Jesus said, "Take care of the children and love them the same way a shepherd loves his sheep. A shepherd searches all night long just to find the missing sheep. Every single child is so very precious to God. He loves them all very much." That means all of you are very, very important to Jesus. You're very important. He cares so much about you that people don't treat you right. He says, "Let's get a great big rock, put it around their neck, and drop them to the deep sea, to a river, and they can drown." That's how important you are. Jesus protects you. He loves you. He takes care of you. Wants to take care of you. And he commands us as adults to love you and to take care of you the same way he would take care of you, which is to love you and care for you and provide for you and give you the things that you need to be at peace. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. You know Jesus, question, you know Jesus' mother, you know Jesus' mother is?
Jesus' mother is Mary.
What, really? You sure? How many disciples did he have? Amen. How many disciples did he have? 12.
I don't think Jesus had a mother because wasn't Jesus started off as an angel?
No, Jesus is actually God himself in the flesh.
No, that was the devil who started the angel into bed.
That's right. Jesus was Satan was a, Lucifer was an angel that turned bad. That's right. Very good. You guys are on the ball here. Very good. Okay. He gives you bad things, doesn't he? The devil does, doesn't he? He sure does. Pardon?
I don't believe in luck.
I don't believe in luck either, but you know the world does, right? What do you think?
No.
Does the world believe in luck?
I don't know.
Okay. So Jesus had 12 disciples. Anybody know the disciples' names? Give one.
Matthew.
Anybody know another name?
Paul.
No. Paul was
Peter.
Yeah. Anybody else?
John.
John. Very good. Peter, James, John. Go ahead.
Isn't John the one who sold Jesus out?
No, that was Judas, my man. All right. Another. Anybody know another disciple's name? Another disciple? You had Matthew, you had James, John.
Mark,
very good. Did you know that for yourself? Did your aunt tell you that? Anybody else?
Matthew
was a disciple.
Luke.
Luke was like was Paul's personal physician. So he wasn't a disciple. He was a servant of Paul.
Andrew.
Yeah. Go, girl. You're guessing
Andrew.
He was a disciple. Anybody else? Who? Oh, she's just slipping you all the answers. Thomas? Yeah. Is your auntie slipping you all the answers over here? She's doing a good job. She knows the disciples, doesn't she?
I don't know.
One more question. What do you have to do to get to heaven?
Be good for the rest of your life, even when you're like,
in Jesus and die.
No, you have to believe.
She said get saved. You have to believe. Okay, go ahead.
You have to believe in Jesus Christ.
You have to believe in Jesus Christ. By doing what? You accept him in your what?
Life.
Yeah, we're in your
heart.
In your heart, right? And ask him to be your Lord and Savior, right? Very good. Now, what'd you say? You said you have to accept Jesus and then die? Yeah, you die to yourself, really. You do die to yourself. That's a good answer. That's 10-point answer right there.
Some people die of old age.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
You sure about that? Yes, Jesus was murdered. These guys are getting...
He got killed for our sins.
Very good. That's right. Any good information you want to give me before we go?
It took him 3 days. Those 3 days were called Easter. Or was it the day that he rolled back the stone called Easter?
No, the day he was raised from the dead was Easter.
Wasn't that the day that he rolled back the stone?
Your stone was rolled back that day too to get out of the tomb. Yes, it was. So it all kind of runs together. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, girls. Thank you, boys. Thank you. That was good. Little trivia there. They know their stuff. Rolled away the stone. Was raised on the third day and rolled away the stone. Amen. Everybody blessed today? Praise God. Very good. Well, your aunt's good at slipping answers, isn't she? She's very good. See, your aunt knows the disciples very well. Praise God. All right. Let's just stand this to our confession this morning. Amen. Let's stand. Let's look to the person on your right and look them in the eye. Look them in the eye. To your right. Why don't you get close and look at each other, stand in front of each other. Oh, he goes, say, friend, in the name of Jesus, let's believe God for a good word, a just-in-time word. And look to the person on your left and look them in the eye. And say to them, friend, in the name of Jesus, we believe you, Father, for wisdom, revelation, and understanding in the word of God today. And finally, look toward heaven and say, Father, we here at Agape Family Church have prayed and confessed, and we believe we receive a good, wholesome word from your heart. And we act like it right now in Jesus' name. Let's thank him. Father, we thank you for a good word today, a good wholesome word, a victorious word, a glorious word. Father, we thank you for the anointing of every person to receive the word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. You can be seated, amen. We've been dealing with, started a series the other day on overcoming fear, amen. So we want to pick up where we left off at. The first one we made, we said there's some key points you need to know about fear. And the first thing we said, that fear cripples. Amen. That fear just cripples. Amen. The second thing is that fear creates confusion. Amen. Fear creates confusion. In Numbers chapter 13, turn to Numbers chapter 13. Fear creates confusion. You don't want to be confused, do you? Amen. Praise God. It says in Numbers chapter 13, verse 21, it says, now Moses sent the 12 spies out to search out the land of Canaan, the promised land. It says in verse 21, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin into Rehob as men come from Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came into Hebron and Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with a cluster of grapes. And they bare between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook of Eshcol because the clusters of grapes which the children of Israel cut down thence and returned from searching the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them that unto all the children of congregation, and showed them fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And more, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with them said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." They brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that saw it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were as in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So we find these 12 spies going to spy out the land that God said flowed with milk and honey. I want you to notice something, that they got in fear about what they saw. And it says in chapter 14, I want you to notice something, chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children murmured against Moses, against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. For wherever hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey. Were it better not for us to return to Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt." And Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were with them, that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children. So here we find these people left Egypt well off. But as soon as these people got a bad report, which came in a voice of fear, total confusion broke loose. They were happy. They were delivered from Egypt, from the bondage of the Egyptians, for 400 years of bondage. Terrible lifestyle, being beat, being whipped. The labor was overwhelming. And yet, they're free. They're going. God's taking care of them for 40 years, brought them through the wilderness. Never had to change their clothes. Their clothes never rotted out. God fed them from heaven. God provided. They had that cloud by day, fire by night. God just took care of these people. And as soon as these ten guys came back with a report of unbelief, they all got in fear. Let me say this to you. It's very important to understand. And the Israelites make a very good point here, that the Israelites got in fear of people. They saw the people in the land were bigger, and they got in fear of people. They didn't measure those people against God. They measured those people against themselves. If they would have done like Caleb and Joshua and say, "We're more than able to possess this land, we're more than able to overcome it because God's with us," instead what they did was they saw the men were big. They said, "We were grasshoppers in their sight, and so we were as those grasshoppers." So they did not allow God to remain big in their lives. Are you following me here? And as believers, you must understand, if we're going to have success in God, we can allow fear to come upon us, because fear will always come in the form of man against us. Are you following me here? So the Bible says, "Who is man that we should fear him?" That God has not put us in the place to fear man. We have God as our Father. We have Jesus as our Lord. We have the Spirit as our comfort and our God. We have no reason to fear man because God is over man. Amen. And we have power over man because of God's word. Amen. Everybody follow me here? But these 10 spies came back with a bad report, a report of unbelief, not believing what God said. Even though they brought back stuff that said what God said was true, they still believe the fear that came from their hearts, and these people began to backpedal. So fear will always cause confusion. Listen to this. Now we know for a fact that Israel hated being in Egypt, didn't they? They hated being there. But as soon as this stuff happens, as soon as these 10 spies give this bad report, listen to what they say. And all the congregation, not some of them, and all the congregation lifted their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us make captains, let us return to Egypt. That's the dumbest thing they ever could have done. That's just dumb talk. Because they know in their hearts they didn't want to go back to Egypt. But when you're mostly distraught, and you're not thinking clearly, you think and you say foolish things. Amen. All because of the fear that came from these 10 men. I want you to notice something. Exodus chapter 14. Again, stay there for a moment. It says this. It says in verse 10. It says, and Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Listen to this. And they were what? Sore, what? Afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said to them, it was because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And the Moses said to the people, fear not. Stand still, see the fellow salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you to you this day. For the Egyptians that you've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. I want you to notice something, that Moses had already delivered them from Egypt. They were all on the way out. Praise God. And because they heard the Egyptians coming, they got in fear and they wanted to go back to something they wanted to get out of. You see that? I want you to notice something here. It says in verse 8 of chapter 14, it says, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. This is the same verse of scripture from the Good News Bible. It says, the Lord made the king stubborn. He pursued the Israelites who were leaving triumphantly. Exodus chapter 14, a verse, this is from the Message Bible. It says, God made the Pharaoh king of Egypt stubborn, determined to chase the Israelites as they walked out on him without even looking back. This is from today's Living Bible. It says, he pursued the children of Israel, for they had taken much of their wealth of Egypt with them. The Amplified Bible says, the Lord made hard and strong the heart of Pharaoh king of Egypt, and he pursued Israelites, for they were left proudly and defiantly. In other words, the Israelites left Egypt well off. They were not hurting. They left in a good condition, and they weren't thinking about Pharaoh when they left. They left Egypt with a high hand. I want you to notice something here in Psalm chapter 105. To give you a better picture of how they left Egypt, turn over to Psalm 105. I'm trying to paint a picture to show you that when they left Egypt, they didn't leave Egypt in fear. They left Egypt with money. They left Egypt with their pride. They left Egypt with their honor. They left Egypt knowing they had victory over Egypt. They left in victory. Psalm 105 puts it best. It says in verse 36 of Psalm 105, he smote all the firstborn in the land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. They're rich people, weren't they? Now notice this. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. They left wealthy and they left healed. Praise God. They left healthy in a sound mind and they left totally healed. That's the Bible says. So when they start talking about, you should have left us alone, let's go back to Egypt, they're lying to themselves. But when you get in fear, confusion comes. And the third point is this. When you get in fear, what happens is fear changes your words. When you get in fear, fear will change your words. On onset, they were speaking words of faith. When Pharaoh began to pursue them because he was mad, they took all their goodies. All of a sudden, their whole language, their faith turned to unbelief, which gave the enemy a right to pursue them and overcome them. Turn to Mark chapter 10, please. Talking about fear will change your words. It says in Mark chapter 10, around verse 17. Everybody still with me this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. It says this in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And he was going forth into the way. And there came one running and kneeled to him, asked him, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why calleth me good? There is none good but God, that is one." There is none good but one, that is God. Excuse me. "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said to the master, "All these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell what thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me." And when he was sad at this saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The ruler's fear of losing what he had causes faith to become doubtful and cynical. Because he was in fear of losing what he had, he became cynical and doubtful of his place in Jesus. And walked away sadly because he had great possessions. Fred Price says, because great possessions had him. You follow me here? But his words at first were, "I'm a good master, I want to follow you. How do we inherit kingdom, the eternal life?" He wants something from Jesus, doesn't he? But just by Jesus telling him, "You have to sell what you have and follow me," his whole countenance, his whole attitude changed. Fear will cause you to change your words and change your attitude. Number four, fear will torment you. In 1 John chapter 4, it says this, and we have known, verse 16, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, John chapter 4, verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Listen, there is no fear in, but perfect love cast out what? Why? Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Praise God. Amen. So understand this, beloved. A person who is not being settled in the love of God will find themselves in fear, and that fear will torment them till they get settled in God's love. Amen. Because perfect love cast out all fear. So fear wants to get you into a place of torment. Why? Because it gets you in torment. You're so busy paying attention to the torment, you're not paying attention to God. Everybody see that? When you're being tormented, you're concentrating on the torment. You ever been in pain? Headache? Some kind of pain from someplace in your body? If you're not careful, you'll spend more time focusing on the pain than focusing on the word of God to speak to that pain. Because what happens is the pain is a distraction. Fear gets you to concentrate on the distraction, not on what the word of God says. Everybody follow me here, praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Hallelujah. It says this, verse 23, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him? Can I tell you this? The situations and circumstances that are out of your control will cause you to get in fear if you're not trusting in God. These men were in a ship, and all of a sudden a storm came they had no control over. And as soon as they had no control over that storm, they got in fear. Now, one translation says that Jesus was asleep in the boat, at the stern of the boat, just resting nicely. And they were so afraid, they woke him up because they thought, you don't care enough for us, we're going to perish. Jesus gets up and speaks to the winds and speaks to the waves. Guess what? And the waves abate. And everything is calm. But I can tell you something, because they didn't recognize the fact, they didn't understand the situation and circumstances that are not comfortable for you will always get you in fear if you don't keep your eyes on him who has conquered fear. Are you following me? And so Jesus had conquered. Here's the thing about this, just so beautiful about this Bible account, that when Jesus stood up and spoke, all of a sudden they weren't concerned about the waves. They're amazed at the man that did it. Keeping your eyes on him and not on your situations and not on your circumstances will keep you out of fear. But that's a hard lesson for a lot of us because we're so used to being consumed because our world is constantly trying to put fear on us. Amen. They're constantly doing things around us to get our eyes off God and get our eyes on things that we can't control. Amen. And so we keep things in God's hands and let him have control. Guess what? God does great things. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't the word good? Number five, fear comes from a lack of embracing God's love for us in every situation. I don't care what you do. Jesus loves you. He might not love what you do that's wrong, but he loves you. Do you understand that? That Jesus loves. Say, Jesus loves me. It doesn't make a difference what you do. Let me put it this way. It makes a difference what you do. It does make a difference what you do. Put it this way. But whether or not you do good or do bad, if you're a believer, Jesus loves you. And Jesus loves the world. Every sinner that's in the world, Jesus loves them. He wants them to know he's their savior. That he can be their savior like he's your savior. Are you following me? So it does make a difference how you live your life and what you do. But the fact is, no matter what you do, Jesus still loves you. Doesn't like the wrong thing that you do. But he does love you as an individual. Amen. So our fear comes from a lack of embracing his love for our lives in every situation. Turn to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Praise God. I think we forget that we belong to a love God. The Bible says that God is love, isn't he? So no matter what you do, if you're asking God to forgive you, his love's there to forgive you, isn't he? Praise God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38, it says, For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things that come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's pretty big. Think about this. angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're born again, nothing separates you from his love. He loves you without question. He's there for you without question. He loves you. He cares about you. And when we don't embrace God's love for us in every situation in our lives, you know what happens? We get in fear. And the devil gets in and begins to ravage our lives. We don't want that to happen. Praise God. In 1 John chapter 4, turn there please. First John chapter 4, verse 4, it says this, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. They're of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. You're of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us, and send his son to be the covering for all our sins. His love is in position to make a difference in our lives. And we let his love have that position in our lives. Fear cannot overtake us. Fear cannot overtake us. Fear is moved away because we know our security is in him who loves us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Number six, fear hinders God from intervening. Because of the position it puts you in. Fear puts you in unbelief. Fear will put you in unbelief. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4, please. It says this in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 4. It says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering to his rest, any of us should seem to come short. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter to his rest. As he has said, I have sworn by my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, all the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his rest. Beloved, when we begin to walk in the love of God, and we allow the love of God to saturate our lives, fear cannot come in. And when fear is not in place, we rest in God. A lot of believers aren't resting. We're too worried about this and too worried about that. But God has called believers to a life of rest. Do you understand that? As a matter of fact, if you look over a little further in Hebrews, it says this in verse 7. Again, he limited certain days, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, for Jesus hath given them rest, then we now afterward have spoken to another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entereth into his rest, he also hath ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You rest in God by having faith in God's word. That you put total, explicit trust in him and his word, and that word and him, God, keeps you in rest. Amen. And when you're in rest, fear can't get in there. Amen. A lot of us are not resting. A lot of us, and Paul says this very clearly. He says, For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did. We're not trying to do it ourselves. We're letting God do it. We're not trying to make it happen. We're letting God, we're putting our faith in God. We're putting faith in God's word, and we're letting God make it happen. And we're letting God make it happen. We're not in fear because God's faithful to his word, isn't he? God does not fail his word. God's going to come through for us every single time, because when we're in rest, we're trusting in, listen, when we're in rest, we're trusting in him and not in ourselves. Amen? And when you're trusting in him and not yourselves, fear can't get there. Because when you look at yourself, you know you're going to mess it up big time. Amen. If you're looking at yourself, you're going to mess it up big time. But when you're resting in God and you're putting your trust in him, it's going to come out all right, isn't it? Praise God. It's just going to come out all right. Praise God. I was talking to somebody this morning, and almost 15, 20 years ago, this person's son was working on electrical pole. He was a lineman and got electrocuted. This young man, for the past 20 to 15 to 20 years, is still alive. His mother, his father have believed in faith for God to heal this young man's body. Can I tell you, in 20 years of being paralyzed and having to be taken care of, can I tell you this? This kid, this young man, has never gotten sick. Not sick in his body at all, because the faith of his mother, his faith of his father, is holding this young man, sustaining his body. Because they're believing God for his miracle. That's unheard of. 20 years being paralyzed, being catered to, taken care of, can't do anything for himself, but still, his body is still whole. He might be paralyzed, he might maybe have brain, but you know, though he still communicates in the way he communicates, but the fact that he's not deteriorating in his body. Because someone's faith is actively working. And they're, listen, and I know they're doing this. They're resting in God. They're not resting in them. They're not depending on themselves. Amen. Amen. And these are the day of signs. These days are signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. Praise God. But I use this for example because I've seen this person over the years go through this. In the first few years, we were with them a lot. And we saw their faith, taking their Sunday healing school and sitting in classes every day, letting the word of healing be spoken to this person's life. And after all this time elapsing, for this person to still be whole in his body, though he's paralyzed, still be whole and still functioning normally, tells you something about the power of God can sustain, can it? Praise God. But she's resting in him, not in herself. Could tell you something, because some folks, if some believers, if they did that 20, they would have quit already. Oh, they would have. They would have left. Put their son in a nursing home to be taken care of. But their faith has kept this person vibrantly alive and well. Because they're resting in God. They're not resting in themselves. They're resting in him, that he has the ability to make the difference. Anybody follow me so far? Praise God. So we want to understand that we must keep our faith in God and resting in him, that fear doesn't come in. Everybody follow me there? Let me tell you, this person, they have no control except for God's word. Only control they have is that God is doing what he said he's going to do in his word. Praise God. Let me give one more, and we'll get beyond this. We'll get one more point, and we'll close here. It says here that fear creeps in to a believer's life when they don't accept God's acceptance of them. The Bible says you're accepted in the beloved. Amen. Turn over to Romans, please. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody here today? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's listen to this in Romans. Just write the scripture down. In 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. So God loved you long before you ever loved him. He extended his love toward you before you even loved him. Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5. This is so powerful. It says in verse 6, when we were yet without strength, it says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me and you. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Listen to this. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means he accepted us when we weren't acceptable. He loved us when we weren't lovable. You are accepted in the beloved. That God loves you and God cares about you. And the sooner you learn to embrace that God loves you and God cares for you and God's mindful of you, he wants good for you. When you begin to accept that, all of a sudden the fear doesn't have a chance to get in. Because our acceptance of God is all we need. Amen. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Praise God. Everybody doing good this morning? Praise God, the word is good. I want you to think about this. When you think about, we just now read about this in Romans, how that when we were out strength, Christ died for us. Amen? But I want you to notice something in Genesis chapter 1. If you've never seen this before, I want you to look at something real quick with me. Everybody have Genesis chapter 1? Praise God. In the word good. It says this in verse, we'll start at verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered together of the waves called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind. The tree was yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw it was good. And in the evening and in the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let there be for signs and for seasons, for the days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light unto the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, and the great light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was what? Good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly and moving creatures that have life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth with waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and the kind winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the world with the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw it was good. And God said, let us make a man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and upon everything that creepeth, that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the earth, from the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, that you may be for meat to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherefore there is life. I have given every herb, green herb, for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything he made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God created you in acceptance. God did not create junk. Amen. God created you. When God said it was very good, he created accepting you. So the devil tries to tell you that you're not accepted. He tells you you're not good enough. He tells you you're a loser, that you can't make it, you know, that you're a doofus. He tells you all these things about you that's not true about you. But God created you in acceptance, and you must embrace the fact that you are accepted. And when you understand you're accepted because he loves you and cares about you and gave his son to die for you and raised his son from the dead because you could have eternal life in him if you believe in his name, you're accepted. Amen. And when you weren't acceptable, he still accepted you. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Amen. And when we begin to understand those kind of things, fear cannot inch its way into our lives. Amen. Because you are accepted. You're accepted because God created you in acceptance. He just did. In the very beginning, everything he said he created was good. And he said it was, on the sixth day when all was done, it was very good. So you're very much accepted in him. And when we embrace these things, guess what? The enemy can't put this kind of fear on us. Amen. Praise God. Everybody here today? Praise God. Hallelujah. Remember this. And we'll close here. Remember that fear. We read this over in Hebrews chapter 4. Fear, fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw it was good. And in the evening and in the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let there be for signs and for seasons for the days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light unto the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, and the great light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was what? Good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, and moving creatures that have life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth with waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and the kind winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the world with the seas, and let the fowl multiply on the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw it was good. And God said, let us make a man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created him. Male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and upon everything that creepeth, that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the earth, from the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, that you may be for meat to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherefore there is life. I have given every herb, green herb, for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything he made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God created you in acceptance. God did not create junk. Amen. Amen. God created you. When God said it was very good, he created accepting you. So the devil tries to tell you that you're not accepted. He tells you you're not good enough. He tells you you're a loser, that you can't make it, you know, that you're a doofus. He tells you all these things about you that's not true about you. But God created you in acceptance, and you must embrace the fact that you are accepted. And when you understand you're accepted because he loves you and cares about you and gave his son to die for you and raised his son from the dead because you could have eternal life in him if you believe in his name, you're accepted. Amen. And when you weren't acceptable, he still accepted you. Quote in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Amen. And we begin to understand those kind of things. Fear cannot inch its way into our lives. Amen. Because you are accepted. You're accepted because God created you in acceptance. He just did. In the very beginning, everything he said he created was good. And he said it was, on the sixth day when all was done, it was very good. So you're very much accepted in him. And we embrace these things. Guess what? The enemy can't put this kind of fear on us. Amen. Praise God. Everybody here today? Praise God. Hallelujah. Remember this. And we'll close here. Remember that fear. We read this over in Hebrews chapter 4.